Brocon Show with Anna DeBlasis right here on 720 WGN. Radio legend just stepped into the studio with us.
Hey, Bobby.
Bobby Skafish. You know him, you love him from... Oh, what we used to call album-oriented rock for so long.
I remember you from The Loop, so okay. Loved you there.
Great days.
XRT.
Yeah.
I remember when you left XRT, and I thought, now, how's he leaving XRT? No one leaves XRT. That was such a controversial thing at the time when you did that in the early 80s, because I just figured when XRT went on the air in the early mid-70s, right, what it eventually became, that everybody there was either already working there or an intern there, and then just had to wait, and then you retired out. It was like a union job. It was like a
city job, right?
Yeah, city job.
I was just ambitious, wanted to try something different. Is what it came down to.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it, and then you went back to XRT.
Yeah, I did.
That was a very good. That was all good. I mean, these are all great. And you were at Q101 for a while, right?
11 months. Yeah, good.
That's
memory.
It? Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So you, I don't know. Just watching my radio brethren moving around the dial.
Oh, yeah.
And you're in the biz for what? How many years?
Do you want to say? 39 total.
39 years.
Yeah.
Wowee. Mm-hmm. All right. And now you've written a book.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about this book here, because it turns out that the book is basically dishing the dirt on every single rock star in the history of rock and roll. Is that correct? Do I have that right?
Really dirt?
I wouldn't call it dirt. It's sort of like some transcriptions of the interview plus some observations basically where their career was at the time, and I sort of take a critical look on how I did as an interviewer.
Oh.
And there's a thread of that throughout the 39 years.
Well, isn't it true though that, and you might speak to this too, Ro, isn't that when you interview someone famous, often it's just the way they interact off camera or off air that is fascinating, to see who they bring with them, how big their entourage is, if they have any strange snacking things that they do or things.
No, I get
that. You know, the personality yeah. comes out.
I remember when Jimmy Buffett visited The Loop to be on with Steve Dahl, he came by himself. And that was so rare. No entourage whatsoever. Yeah.
Like in a cab. That is true. That is true. Sometimes the biggest stars will show up and then just, well, how did you get it? I don't know. I just showed up.
You're like, wait a minute. That's not supposed to happen.
That was impressive, actually.
Do you validate parking? I hate when you get that question.
Like, wait a minute.
No.
Is she a super celebrity?
Yeah.
Millionaire?
All right. So, and the book is called We Have Company.
Yeah. It's a phrase I kind of fell into saying without even realizing it. When we would have someone in to be interviewed, play live on the air. Hey, we have company. Midnight Oil's here, whatever.
Yeah. What is your, Lindsey Buckingham, I know, is featured in the book. And Lindsey Buckingham is also a regular guest on that Saturday Night Live bit that they've got. Once they even used Lindsey Buckingham, where they do it's a talk show that they never get to him.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, where Jimmy Kimmel got the idea. Everything is derivative for Matt Damon. But the idea here is that Lindsey Buckingham, and I've interviewed Lindsey Buckingham too, and he's so quiet. It was almost impossible to get anything out of him. And that's sort of one of the funny things about the bit.
Yeah, yeah. At the time I had him, he was away from Fleetwood Mac and had a new solo album. So he was hot to establish himself as a solo artist rather than...
Isn't it funny how they, all of a sudden when they need something, when they get hungry, they all of a sudden, I'll be your friend.
Remember me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's true.
When you stop and you think about of the artists, in this book, and it's everything from Aerosmith to Bare Naked Ladies. Mm-hmm. Jackson Brown.
Sting,
that is an excellent...
The Clash. Lenny Kravitz.
Thanks, yeah.
What is wrong with Jackson Brown? What a genius singer-songwriter Jackson Brown is. And he is just an impossible human being, has been my recollection. Yours, Bobby Skafish.
He wanted to talk a lot about...
Guatemala?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was where his head was at. And I drew him out on a few other subjects. He had been on this Roy Orbison Black and White Night video. He was one of the background singers, so he told some good stories about that. But he's a cause-oriented guy. He also talked about being in on an intervention with David Crosby. He seemed happiest when he was talking about other people rather than his own career. That was my perception. I had him on twice.
What about the Bare Naked Ladies? Did they come with an entourage?
No. It was all five members, though, and they played live, and I was very, very impressed by them. Uh-huh. I had hosted an in-store appearance they had done at Tower Records. and they were super funny.
Oh, wait, I don't know. The Tower Rex is still there anymore. So, yeah, so the bell doesn't really count. All right,
they were super funny guys, and that's what kind of got me into them. And that wore off over years later, but I thought they were very talented guys, real quick on their feet.
Yes.
Good songs, too.
That's what
I
noticed seeing them in concert. They seemed down to earth, but so funny. And what they said in between the songs made you love them even more than you liked their music, even.
And they drew a great audience, I thought, too.
They engaged them.
It is of the bands from that era, right? Mm-hmm. Them or the Goo Goo Dolls or bands of that like. It's interesting because they was the beginning of the time when music started to become a lower price commodity, if you will. You know, it's sort of like you can still have the same passion for it, but it was easier to obtain. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to work as hard for it. Your passion for it if it's easy to get, then you tend to be a little less emotionally connected to it.
I think you're making sense. The whole downloading thing.
Yeah.
Where you don't get liner notes of the album.
Right.
You just get the songs. Mm-hmm. I think it makes it a little more, I don't want to say disposable, but maybe just less of a passion than when you and I were growing up.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true.
So.
Well, it makes it a little less impersonal. More impersonal, than in some ways, too. Unless you watch their video or engage with them in some other way, or they're a super big star, it's sometimes hard to kind of connect.
Yeah,
with
I think
some
so.
Of what they put out. What about David Bowie? You got to talk about that.
Just a prince of a guy. I had done a phone interview with him back around 1991, and that was great. And when I met him, it was a concert he did at the Aragon, and my wife and I went up. There was a photo opportunity, a bunch of radio people upstairs at the Aragon after the show. And his manners blew me away. He wanted to make everyone comfortable. And I thought, he's David Bowie. He doesn't have to do that, but he did. And that, to me, that's what manners is all about. He wants everyone in the room to relax and just enjoy the moment. So that was very impressive. I felt like I had been socked in the gut the day I woke up and my wife told me he died. That one really was something.
There was a really bad 1-2 punch this year.
With Prince? Prince. Yeah.
I mean, it really is something. I mean, it's like those are, and it, you know, rock stars, you know, have a life expectancy of, you know, like,
lower than the normal population,
the average year would have been about 1750 would have been about the same life expectancy. I don't think that we were ready for either of those because Bowie was putting an album out.
Yeah.
We did not know that he was ill.
Yeah.
Prince, you know, I mean, the Prince thing is Prince thing. All right. This is one that I am fascinated by that's in the book, too. You talk to Robbie Robertson of the band about The Last Waltz, which is, I think, to a lot of people's recollection, the greatest concert film, the greatest concert live concert album and concert film of all times, which they put together basically an all-star tribute to themselves in the early 1970s. And it's a great moment. What's the nugget out of that with Robbie Robertson?
I think he was speaking about how he wanted to get all different strands of music that contributed to popular music, bring in the blues and bring in, a contemporary like Neil Young or Joni Mitchell. It's a different strand of things. And he just wanted to bring in, they wanted to bring in just all different sides of music. Dr. John from New Orleans, some Chicago blues and Muddy Waters. Yeah.
And when you go back and you listen, it was fascinating. When you
I love that movie.
Yeah, the movie is great. And you know, the other little known piece of that movie is that it wasn't exactly done by amateurs either.
Yeah,
they put together a pretty great staff of people behind the scenes, the producing staff, and of course. That director, I can't remember.
Martin Scorsese, perhaps.
That's
him. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's done
that's
a thing
it.
Or two.
Yeah.
Anybody,
who directed
your
it?
List of people that you've interviewed is extensive, you know, pop, rock, and beyond that, too. Is there anybody you really tried to get, you really loved personally, perhaps, and just couldn't get?
Well, who I had was out of my control. It's like it went through the program director who was available. And I believe there's a whole parallel universe of great artists that I didn't have, and I accept that, you know, to have spoken to a Zappa or a Randy Newman or a Joni Mitchell, Van Morrison, and it goes on and on. You know, I don't have any Beatles in there, but I was
John Lennon.
Content. John Lennon. You know, his death, I was on the air that night at XRT, and then also I interviewed his son Julian.
Julian, right. Yeah.
Along with Bob Stroud, actually, and that was interesting.
Oh, that's the guy with the crowd. That's
yeah.
him. Yes, I know
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah, I know. He speaks highly of you,
I
actually.
I speak highly of him, too. We worked together for a number of years. He's awesome. Well, Bobby, it's a pleasure to meet you. It's an honor
likewise.
To meet you, actually.
Yeah.
It
Both
really is.
Too.
It's this man is radio royalty right here, Bobby Scafish.
Totally.
He's got the new book out, which is available. Where it's EckertsPress.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's got to be a website here.
BobbyScafish.com.
SKAFISH.
That's right. It comes out a week from today. You can pre-order it now. And that's the, you know, bookstore is a dying breed, as you both know. Mm-hmm. So that's it's all done online, and I want to have a few book release parties. Real quick, the first one will be at Toons, 3857 North Southport in Wrigleyville. That'll be September 30th from 5 to 9 p.m.
You should do it on Game 7 of the World Series.
Oh, that's all I need.
Yeah. See how that works.
We have company, four decades of rock and roll encounters. Bobby Scafish is the author of that book.
Thanks.
Bobby, congratulations on this.
Yeah. Thanks
really
so
something.
Much.
It's
Great
a lot of
you.
Typing, as it turns out. Violetta's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.